Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at lifespan development.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how have we changed?
Yeah.
How are we going to change?
Right.
And, like, what even shapes that journey across, like, our entire life?
Yeah.
So we're cracking open a chapter from a textbook
right.
about lifespan development.
Cool.
And we're going to try and, like, break down these kind of complex concepts.
Yeah.
Into, like, more bite-sized pieces, you know?
Right.
For you guys.
Definitely.
And hopefully give you, like, a clear understanding of all the different forces that influence us.
Mm-hmm.
From when we're, like, little babies.
Yeah.
All the way until we're, like, old and gray.
The golden years.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fascinating, you know, how we used to think development was all about childhood.
Right.
But now we're realizing it's, like, this lifelong process.
Yeah.
You know, it's constantly shaping who we are, even as we're sitting here right now.
Yeah, like our works in progress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Always under construction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always being, like, remodeled and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
But how do we even, like, begin to understand all this transformation that's happening?
Yeah.
Like, what exactly is lifespan development?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be more than just, like, getting taller or remembering to take out the trash.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Think of it like this. It has three core domains.
Okay.
So there's the physical, the cognitive, and the psychosocial.
Okay.
The physical is the most obvious, you know?
Like what we look like.
Yeah, your body growing.
Yeah.
Changes in your brain and your senses over time.
Right.
Even things like learning how to ride a bike.
Okay, yeah. So, like, picturing myself finally nailing that jump.
Yeah.
Like, after, like, years of scrapes and bruises.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it.
That's physical development.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. We got that one down.
Yeah.
What about cognitive?
Cognitive, that's all about how your mind works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How you learn, how you remember things.
Okay.
How you use language.
Right.
How you solve problems. It's that, like, aha moment when something finally clicks.
Yes.
Like when you suddenly understand algebra.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I remember that day algebra made sense.
Yeah.
It was like a light bulb went off.
Totally.
Okay, so then where does this psychosocial fit into all this?
Right.
Like all the embarrassing moments we try to forget about?
Uh-huh. Psychosocial. You can say that. Psychosocial, this is the really fascinating part.
Okay.
It's all about your emotions.
Okay.
Your personality, your relationships, how you connect with the world around you.
Okay, so physical is about our bodies.
Right.
Cognitive is about our minds.
Exactly.
And psychosocial is about, like, our connections and experiences.
Yeah, how we interact.
And are all of those, like, intertwined?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're all woven together.
I bet if we, like, rewound our own personal tapes, like, 5, 10, or even 15 years, we would see some pretty wild changes.
Oh, yeah.
In all three areas.
Definitely, yeah.
Right.
Huge changes.
Yeah.
And how these changes happen. Well, this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
This is where we get into these debates.
Okay.
In lifespan development.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so first up.
Okay.
Qualitative versus quantitative changes.
Okay, break that down for me.
Okay.
Qualitative versus quantitative.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
So qualitative changes are about shifts in kind.
Okay.
Like how your understanding of friendship evolves over time.
Okay.
So a young child, they might think a friend is just someone who shares their toys.
Right.
But as we mature, we start looking for deeper connections, shared values, someone who gets our weird sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Those are qualitative differences in what friendship means to us.
Okay, so it's like a shift in how we understand and experience something like friendship.
Exactly.
It's like it gets more nuanced and complex as we go through life.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's qualitative.
Yeah.
What about quantitative?
Quantitative changes. These are about measurable increases or decreases.
Okay.
Like the size of your social circle.
Okay. So like how many friends we have.
Exactly.
Okay.
You might have a ton of friends in high school, but as you get older, that number might shrink.
Yeah.
As you prioritize deeper connections with a select few.
Yeah. Because you don't have time for all that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's not just about like how many friends we have.
Right.
But also like how the very meaning of friendship like changes as we go through life.
Changes as we go, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah, and I bet this whole qualitative versus quantitative thing applies to like tons of aspects of our development, right?
Absolutely.
Like what?
Think about your career aspirations, your understanding of success, even your sense of self.
Oh, yeah.
All those things undergo both qualitative and quantitative changes throughout life.
Wow, this is already blowing my mind.
It's just the beginning.
Yeah, and we're just getting started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before we like move on to the next part, I want to hear from you guys, like, what has stood out to you so far?
Yeah.
Like, what's resonating with like your own life experiences?
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
So those qualitative and quantitative shifts, you know, they don't just like appear out of thin air.
Right.
That brings us to another one of those like debates lifespan development.
All right. Hit me.
So is development continuous, like a smooth, gradual climb up a mountain? Or is it discontinuous, like hopping between stepping stones?
Okay. I'm picturing like mountain climb versus stepping stones.
Yeah.
And I can already see how both of those could apply to like different parts of life.
Exactly.
So give me some real life examples to help me like wrap my head around this.
Okay, so let's take physical growth.
Okay.
You know, you gradually gain height and weight over time, like that steady climb up the mountain.
Yeah.
That's continuous development.
Okay.
But then think about a baby suddenly grasping the idea of object permanence. That thing still exists even when they're out of sight.
Yeah.
So one day they're totally bewildered by peekaboo, and the next day they're in on the joke.
Yeah.
That's more like a leap forward, like a stepping stone moment.
Yeah, it's like those aha moments we talked about before.
Ooh, exactly.
Like those sudden bursts of understanding.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to see how different aspects of development might unfold in like different ways.
Yeah.
So do researchers agree on like which one is the right one?
Well, here's the thing. It's not really about one being right and the other one wrong.
Okay.
It's more about recognizing that both continuous and discontinuous processes might be at play depending on what we're looking at.
Yeah.
So some things might unfold gradually while others happen in these like noticeable leaps and bounds.
Okay, so it's not a clear-cut answer.
Yeah, it's a blurry line.
But even just having that framework helps us like understand the nuances of how we grow and change.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so remind me what the next debate was. Again, I'm already getting lost in all this.
Of course. So we were going to explore the question of whether everyone follows the same developmental path or if there are many diverse journeys.
Okay, yeah.
So think of it as, is there one right way to grow up?
Okay.
Or are there infinite possibilities?
Yes, the age-old one course versus many courses debate.
Exactly.
This is where things get really interesting, right?
It is.
Because, like, we all know people who seem to have taken like wildly different paths in life.
Oh, yeah, totally.
What does this textbook have to say about this one?
Well, our textbook throws in this really fascinating story about the Ake Society in Paraguay. Oh, have you heard of them?
I don't think so.
So these folks live a nomadic lifestyle in the rainforest.
Okay.
And their child rearing practices are very different from what we're used to in Western cultures.
Interesting. Okay, tell me more about the Ake.
So Ake mothers carry their infants constantly.
Okay.
For safety, you know, while they're out foraging.
Okay.
So because of this Ake, children start walking much later than kids in Western cultures.
Interesting.
But get this, later on, those kids develop superior tree climbing and tool using skills.
Wow.
Compared to their peers who walked earlier.
So even something as basic as like when we start walking can be influenced by our culture and environment.
Precisely.
It's like the H kids are getting a totally different kind of like early childhood education.
Totally.
Than kids who are like playing on jungle gyms at the park or whatever.
Yeah, different set of skills.
This reminds me of that whole nature versus nurture debate.
Yeah.
Like, are we more shaped by our genes or by our experiences?
Exactly.
And it sounds like this one course versus many question is like closely tied to that.
Absolutely. And our source emphasizes that both nature and nurture are always at play.
It's never either.
It's both. Yeah.
Okay.
Think about it. The food you eat,
the
languages you speak, the values you hold dear. These are all shaped by the environment you grew up in.
Yeah.
By those cultural norms you were exposed to.
So it's like our genes give us the blueprint, but our experiences like chase how that blueprint is expressed.
Exactly.
And that's what makes each person's like developmental journey so unique.
So unique, yeah.
And speaking of experiences,
yes.
Let's actually like zoom in on those developmental contexts that shape our paths.
Let's do it.
This is where things get really personal.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the real world factors that shape who we become.
Totally.
So where do we even begin?
Well, we got to talk about cohort effects.
Okay.
It's not just about being a certain age. It's about the shared experiences of a group of people born around the same time.
Okay.
Those shared experiences, they become this like defining part of who we are.
Okay. So like if you were a kid during the Great Depression, those experiences of like hardship and scarcity
yeah
will probably shape your worldview for like your whole life.
Yeah, exactly. Like decades later, you might be super frugal yeah. and value security above all else.
Right, because you lived through that.
Exactly.
And you know how important those things are.
And think about all those generational labels we hear so much about.
Like
baby boomers, millennials, Gen Z.
Yeah.
These are all examples of cohorts.
Right.
Each shaped by these like distinct historical events and cultural shifts.
Okay.
For example, millennials came of age during the rise of the internet and social media,
right,
which has undoubtedly influenced
yeah.
their communication styles, their yeah. relationships, even their career choices.
It's like we're all part of these like invisible clubs.
Totally.
Bonded by the experiences we shared
mm-hmm.
during a particular like slice of history.
Yeah, shared history.
Okay, so cohort effects are about these like big sweeping historical events.
Exactly.
So what are some of the other contexts that shape our development?
Another big one is socioeconomic status, or SES. And it's not just about income. It's about the opportunities and limitations right. that come with your social class.
Okay.
So think of it as the resources you have access to.
Right.
Things like education,
yeah.
healthcare, safe housing,
mm.
even nutritious food.
Okay, so SES is about more than just like how much money you have in the bank.
Right.
It's about the quality of life you can afford.
Exactly.
The opportunities you're exposed to,
mm-hmm.
even like the kind of support system you have.
All of that.
So how does SES actually play out in terms of like development?
Well, research shows that these class differences
yeah.
can have a huge impact on everything.
Oh, wow.
From parenting styles to health outcomes.
Okay.
So, for example, studies suggest that working class parents
mm-hmm.
tend to emphasize obedience and conformity in their children.
Okay.
While middle class parents yeah. prioritize independence and initiative.
That makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're working a job where following orders is key, mm-hmm. you might instill those same values in your kids.
Exactly.
But if your work involves, like, creativity and problem solving?
Yeah.
You might encourage those traits in your children.
Absolutely. Your work experiences, your education level,
mm.
even your neighborhood.
Yeah.
All of these things shape the values that you pass on
right.
to the next generation.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, our source highlights the struggles of today's like impoverished professionals.
Yeah.
These are people who are highly educated but are burdened with debt,
right.
making it really hard to achieve that middle class lifestyle
yeah.
they aspire to.
It's like a reminder that social class
mm-hmm.
is about more than just income.
Yeah, more than just a number.
It's about having the resources and opportunities to thrive.
Yeah, to reach your full potential.
Right, and to like be able to reach your full potential.
Exactly.
And it's like this powerful context that shapes our developmental journeys.
For sure.
Okay, so we've explored those big overarching contexts like
yeah.
cohorts and SES.
Mm.
Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about something more personal.
Okay.
How we define age.
All right.
We often get stuck on like chronological age,
yeah.
like the number of candles on our birthday cake.
Right, right.
But is that really the whole story?
I don't think so.
Because I definitely don't always feel my age.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I have the wisdom of like an 80-year-old sage.
Huh?
And other times, I'm basically like a 5-year-old throwing a tantrum because I can't have what I want.
I feel that.
So what are some of those other ways to think about age?
Well, we have biological age.
Okay.
Which is all about how quickly your body's aging.
Okay.
Based on factors like your genes, your lifestyle choices, even your access to healthcare.
Okay.
Then we have psychological age.
Okay. Let me see if I got this right.
Okay.
So my biological age might be younger than my chronological age.
Okay.
Because I'm like a health nut who runs marathons and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
But my psychological age might be older.
Okay.
Because I've gone through some tough stuff. And I had to like grow up fast.
Right.
And my social age, well, that's probably all messed up.
Uh-huh.
Because I still haven't hit those like traditional milestones like marriage and kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So how old am I really?
That's the beauty of it. There's no single answer.
Right.
Your age is this multifaceted concept.
Yeah.
It's constantly evolving as you do.
Okay.
So it's less about a number.
Right.
And more about this holistic understanding of where you are in your own life journey.
I love that our age is more than just a number.
It is.
It's about how we feel, how we function, and how we fit into the world around us.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, speaking of age.
Yes.
This brings us to another like crucial distinction.
Okay.
Life expectancy versus lifespan. Remind me what the difference is again.
Okay, so life expectancy is about how long we're statistically likely to live.
Okay.
Based on things like our health, environment, even our gender.
Right.
Lifespan, on the other hand,
yeah,
is about the maximum number of years
yep.
a human can potentially live.
Okay, so life expectancy is about averages.
Yeah.
And lifespan is about like the outer limits of human possibility.
Exactly.
What does the current data tell us about life expectancy?
Okay.
Are we living longer than our ancestors?
Well, according to the World Health Organization, global life expectancy has been steadily increasing.
Yeah.
Back in 2015, the average global life expectancy was 71.4 years.
Wow.
But here's a fascinating tidbit.
Okay, what?
Women tend to live longer than men across the globe.
Women outliving men.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know, it's a mystery.
I wonder why that is. I guess that's a whole other deep dive waiting to happen.
Exactly.
But going back to life expectancy.
Yeah.
I remember reading something kind of alarming in our textbook. Didn't it say that, like, American kids today might have shorter lifespans?
Yeah, you're remembering correctly.
Really?
Yeah, so while global life expectancy is increasing overall,
right.
there are some concerning trends in developed countries like the U.S.
Huh.
Researchers are linking this potential decrease
yeah.
in lifespan to rising obesity rates
okay.
and other health issues related to lifestyle choices.
That's a sobering thought.
It is.
It's like, even though we have access to all this, like, amazing medical advancement and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Our lifestyle choices are like chipping away at our potential lifespan.
Yeah, it's a complex issue.
It really highlights the importance of like taking care of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right.
But remember, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Understanding these trends empowers us to make more informed choices.
Yeah.
You know, we can't control our genes,
right.
but we can make choices
right.
that support our health and well-being.
So true. Knowing the facts can help us take action.
Exactly.
Well, we've covered so much ground already.
We've yeah. explored those like big debates about how development unfolds.
Yeah.
We unpack the contexts that shape our journeys.
Mm-hmm.
And we even tackle this complex question of how we define age.
Big questions.
Yeah. But I know we're just scratching the surface.
Oh, yeah.
So what's next on our adventure?
Let's find out.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to dive into the heart of it all. The stages of life. We're going to take a journey through these distinct periods from the very beginning all the way to the very end. We'll explore what makes each stage so unique and how they all connect to form like the tapestry of human development.
I feel like we're about to embark on this like time traveling adventure through the human experience. I'm ready.
Let's go.
Okay, let's start at the very beginning.
Okay.
Prenatal development.
Yes.
It all starts with that magical moment of conception, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It all begins when the sperm and egg join forces, you know, to create a single cell. A zygote.
Zygote. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. So much potential packed into this one tiny cell. What happens next? Well, that zygote embarks on this remarkable journey of like rapid cell division and differentiation. It transforms into an embryo. And over those 9 months of prenatal development, all the major structures of the body take shape. It's a really critical period, a period of incredible vulnerability and rapid growth.
It's mind-blowing to think about everything that's happening in those 9 months before birth. It really highlights how important it is for pregnant people to take care of themselves, make healthy choices for their developing babies.
Absolutely. The prenatal environment plays a crucial role in shaping development. Exposure to toxins, stress, even poor nutrition can have long-lasting effects.
Okay, so let's fast forward 9 months.
Okay.
Baby's born.
Congratulations.
Cue the adorable cooing and sleepless nights.
Yeah.
We enter a whole new world. Infancy. In toddlerhood, what are some of the hallmarks of this stage?
This stage is a whirlwind of rapid growth and development. Think about it, you know, a newborn with blurry vision and limited mobility transforms into this walking, talking, opinionated toddler in what feels like the blink of an eye.
Yeah, I'm picturing that determined toddler taking their first like wobbly steps,
yeah.
exploring everything and testing their limits.
Absolutely. And they're starting to figure out language too, going from those cute little gurgles to actual words.
And their brains are just forming connections at an astonishing rate, right?
Oh yeah. They're soaking up information like little sponges, learning about their world through their senses and interactions with their caregivers.
This reminds me of something we talked about earlier, attachment. Those early relationships with caregivers are so crucial for a child's development.
Absolutely. Those early bonds, they shape a child's sense of security, you know, their ability to trust and their understanding of relationships. It's really the foundation for all their social and emotional development.
Okay, so the baby is no longer a baby. They're a little person now. navigating the world with this newfound sense of independence. What's next on the developmental timeline?
We enter the realm of early childhood, often called the preschool years. This is a time of, like, incredible cognitive growth. Children are learning to use symbols, they're grasping basic concepts of time and space, and they're engaging in pretend play, which helps them develop their imagination and social skills.
I love that age, the age of imagination. I bet they still have some pretty funny ideas about how the world works, right?
Oh, for sure. Their logic may not always be perfect, but it's a sign that their brains are working hard to make sense of everything. They're asking questions, testing out theories, and forming their own unique perspectives.
Like little scientists.
Exactly.
Conducting experiments all day long. That's pretty cool. What happens when these curious preschoolers graduate to elementary school? What's going on during middle childhood?
Middle childhood is a time for mastering those fundamental academic skills, things like reading, writing, math. But it's also about navigating the social world of school, you know, making friends, figuring out where they fit in.
Yeah, I remember those elementary school days. It was all about comparing yourself to your classmates, trying to be the fastest runner, the best speller, the coolest kid on the playground.
Yeah, it's a natural part of this stage. Children are developing a sense of competence, and comparing themselves to others is one way they gauge their abilities. They're figuring out their strengths, their weaknesses, and where they stand.
Then comes the stage I think everyone remembers, often with a mix of amusement and terror. Adolescence.
Oh, yeah.
Hormones are surging, bodies are changing, and teenagers are on this quest to figure out who they are and what they stand for.
Adolescence is a time of intense transformation, physically, cognitively, and socially. Puberty obviously brings those dramatic physical changes, while their brains are undergoing this massive rewiring process, leading to more abstract thinking, more complex emotions, and a yearning for independence.
It's like their whole world is shifting, and they're trying to find their footing in this new landscape. There's a lot of experimentation, a lot of pushing boundaries, and probably a lot of drama.
Yeah, it's a challenging time for both the teenagers and their families, but it's also a period of incredible growth and self-discovery. You know, they're forming their own identities, they're questioning authority, they're exploring their values and beliefs.
They're shedding their old skin and emerging as these new, more complex beings.
Exactly.
And speaking of emerging, what about that phase between adolescence and full-fledged adulthood?
Emerging adulthood, right.
Yeah. Didn't the textbook talk about how this is like a relatively new concept?
It is. Emerging adulthood recognizes that the transition to adulthood is taking a bit longer these days. It's that period after high school when young people are exploring different paths, education, careers, relationships, life in general.
It sounds exciting and terrifying all at the same time.
It is.
Like you have all these possibilities, but also this pressure to make the right choices.
It's a time of both freedom and uncertainty. There's no set roadmap. You know, it can be liberating and anxiety provoking.
So it's about like testing the waters, trying on different hats, and figuring out what fits. When do we officially cross the threshold into adulthood?
There's no official starting line, but early adulthood is typically thought of as the 20s and 30s. It's often seen as the prime of life, you know, when people are at their physical peak, focused on building their careers, establishing long-term relationships, maybe even starting a family.
That's the chapter where you're laying the foundation for your future.
Exactly.
Making those big life choices and juggling a million responsibilities.
It can be demanding and rewarding. People are building their careers, they're navigating those complex romantic relationships, and often they're becoming parents themselves, starting that whole cycle anew.
Then comes middle adulthood, roughly from the 40s to the 60s. I always think of this as a time for reflection, reassessment, maybe even a little bit of a midlife crisis.
Yeah, it's true. People in middle adulthood, they often take stock of their lives and ask those big questions. Am I on the right track? Am I living a fulfilling life? They might reassess their careers, their relationships, even their values and priorities. It's a time for recalibrating and making adjustments.
It's like you've reached the top of that mountain and you're taking a moment to survey the landscape, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe you realize you want to take a different route down. Maybe you want to try a new path altogether.
Exactly. And while some people might experience a sense of crisis, middle adulthood can also be a time of great productivity and satisfaction. People have accumulated experience. They have a deeper understanding of themselves and the world, and they might be in a position to make a real difference.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Not at all.
It's about using your hard-earned wisdom to create a life that's like truly aligned with who you are.
Right. It's a time to embrace new challenges, mentor younger generations, and contribute to the world.
Then comes late adulthood. a stage often associated with wisdom, retirement, the golden years, but it's also a time when people face new challenges related to health, finances, and social isolation. How can we, like, best navigate this stage?
It's important to remember that late adulthood is incredibly diverse. Some people are active and engaged well into their 80s and 90s, while others experience more significant health decline and need more support.
So it's not just about chronological age again, it's about how well you're aging, physically, mentally, and socially.
Right. It's about staying connected, finding purpose, and embracing the richness of this stage of life.
And unfortunately, our society often marginalizes older adults, overlooking their wisdom and contributions. We need to shift that perspective and create a culture that values and respects their experiences.
Absolutely. Their stories, their insights, their perspectives enrich our lives.
And finally, we come to the last stage of life, death and dying.
Yeah.
It's a topic that many people find uncomfortable to discuss, but it's an inevitable part of the human experience.
It's important to approach this final stage with sensitivity and compassion. You know, it's about supporting people as they face their own mortality, honoring their wishes, and helping them find peace and meaning in their final days.
It's a reminder that life is precious and that every stage, even the final one, deserves our attention and understanding.
And beautifully so.
We've covered so much ground in this deep dive. We've journeyed through the entire lifespan, exploring each stage and all the forces that shape our individual paths. I feel like I have a whole new appreciation for the complexity and beauty of human development.
It's been an incredible exploration, and I hope you're walking away with not just a deeper understanding of the lifespan, but also a sense of wonder about your own unique journey.
It's been an absolute mind-blowing adventure. Remember, this is just the beginning of your exploration. There's so much more to learn about lifespan development and how it intersects with every aspect of our lives. So keep that curiosity alive, keep asking questions, and keep embracing the incredible journey of being human.